Okay, go ahead and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. That's where we're going to be for the next 3 weeks. I know what you're probably thinking. How can we be in John 21 for the next 3 weeks? We can. We're going to take our time and we're going to go through it. And I want you to ask yourself while you're on the way there, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? What has God called you to right now? And I want to reiterate, what is your purpose? What has God called you to? God's calling to us is not what you've chosen to do yourself. If we could choose our own calling, we would probably be not working. If we could choose our own calling, we'd probably be somewhere warmer. If we could choose our own calling, we could have all the desires that we wanted to, have all the pleasures that we wanted to. But what is God calling you to? Not your own gratification, but what has God called you to? Galatians 5:17. Before we get to our passage of Scripture, I'm going to give you all some things to think about. So Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." God's calling is not our choice of what we want to do. It's not the gratification of ourselves. It's God's calling to us. God's calling to us is also not what other people have told us what to do. Most of us don't like being told what to do anyway, right? How many of us like being told what to do? If I were to tell you what to do, would you do it with a happy heart? Yeah, I got one. Praise God. I don't know if he says yeah out of fear, but he said yes. So praise God. Right? We don't like to be told what to do, but yet we still like to follow what the world says anyway, right? The world tells us to live your own truth. I don't know if you've heard that today, but live your own truth. Live your own truth. Do what your truth is. It's relative anyway, right? No, it's not. The truth, your truth, apart from God, is a lie. Your truth, apart from God, is a lie. 1 John 1:6 says this, "If we say we have fellowship with Him," right? "If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And then, oh man, this last one is my favorite. It's my favorite. God's calling on your life is not you deciding to follow your family and your friends, right? And listen, I love my family and I love my friends, but my calling is not to go follow them and just do whatever they tell me to do. Your family, your friends, I know we all care about them, right? I know you guys care about your family, the people that you spend most of your time with, your friends. But sometimes when we lean too much on them, it's because we don't want to branch out on our own. We're too scared. Maybe we're too comfortable with our surroundings, or maybe we love them more than God. What I'm asking you today is just to check your heart. Y'all know I say that a lot. Check your heart. What has God called you to? What has He called you to do? Scripture tells us in Galatians 1:10, it says this. Paul poses the question, many of y'all, we know it. "For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So again, I just got to ask y'all, I'm going to ask y'all over and over, what has God called you to? What is He bringing you towards in the action of serving Him that you're not doing? What is He saying for your life right now? What is He saying for your life? And have you accepted that call? Have you accepted the call that God has called you to? So today we're going to go over the pursuit of our calling. And next week we're going to go over the purpose of our calling. And then finally the priority of our calling. And John is a good book to read. If you've ever read it, it's a good book of the Bible to read. And in chapter 20, John appears to Mary Magdalene, and he appears to the disciples twice, and Thomas, and he shows them his hands, and he shows them his side, and you can see the piercings in it. And Jesus is like, "Don't disbelieve, but believe." And so here we are in John chapter 21. Go ahead and stand. We're going to read. And it says this. It says this. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Verse 9, when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. In verse 14, we'll read it and then we'll stop here. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I just thank you for your word. And God, I just plead with you that you would just speak through me, and that your words would be heard tonight. God, and that we would open our hearts to what you have to tell us, and that we would receive what you have to say to us, God. Lord, we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, when we are away from our friends and family, when we miss them, sometimes we get a little stir crazy, right? We want to do something. So, it only seems right that Simon Peter and the disciples, in verses 1 through 3, they're without Jesus, and they go do what they know best. They go fishing. And not only do they go to and do what they know best, but they're going to the places where maybe they've experienced life with the one that they love, right? Jesus. Think about the times you've had with the person that you love, that you don't get to have them anymore, whether they've passed on or whether they're just out and about, right? Maybe they're on a work trip. Maybe they're doing something. You might remember them by doing something that makes you think of them. You might remember them by going to their grave. You might remember a loved one by looking at something that they gave you. If you miss them, you might go visit a place where you guys shared an experience together. So the disciples not only went somewhere where they were comfortable with and fishing, but they also went somewhere where they experienced Christ for the first time. Where did you experience Christ Jesus for the first time? Think about that. The first time you heard Christ's name and you understood it. The good news. The moment when you decided to follow. That's what Kelly talked about these last few weeks. It may have been here at Victory. It may have been at your grandparents' house. It may have been at your house. It may have been in a small church like it was for me. But that place should be etched in your life forever as a reminder of, man, this is where I heard the good news. This is where I experienced Christ. So the disciples, they go back to this moment of fishing. And we read it in Matthew 4, 18 through 22. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He can do anything. He can be anywhere. And he finds them in this familiar place. He finds them while they're just fishing. My first point that I want to give you today is that Jesus can pursue you and find you wherever you are. He can pursue you and find you wherever you are. He can do this because he can go anywhere he wants to go. He's fully God. He's fully man. He's omnipresent. And he can do this by the Spirit. He hasn't gone anywhere. Jesus dwells amongst us. Proverbs 15:3 says this, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Because he hasn't gone anywhere, he is indeed seeking us. Right? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." How awesome is it that he would seek us and come save us because we are lost. And he seeks them at work, fishing. Trying to catch fish and they can't catch anything and it's breakfast time and they still haven't caught anything. But he shows up. Could you imagine being at work on a bad day and looking up and seeing Jesus? Maybe looking up and seeing that friend, hearing his voice, and he's there waiting on you. Man, that's exciting. That is exciting. He can pursue you wherever you're at physically. He pursued the Samaritan woman at the well at John 4, right? We know that story. He pursued Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He pursued the woman at the table at the Pharisees in the house in Luke 7. Jesus can go wherever he wants to. He can find you wherever you're at. There's no hiding from him, right? If we were to play hide and seek with Jesus, he would always find us. If we were on the road, if we're in a different state, if we're in the best hiding hole that we know, the secret places that we can go, it's not a secret to him. He knows where we're at. John Robert Scott, a British theologian, said this. He said, "Whether or not we are consciously seeking God, he is seeking us." And if I could add to that, I would just say he's seeking us through his son, Jesus. But not only can he pursue us wherever we're at physically, he can pursue us wherever we're at emotionally as well. Right? "For he pursued the woman at the well, who was looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. Not only at the well, but in their lifestyle. He pursued Paul, who was angry and who was ready to kill Christians, both men and women, in Acts 9. He pursued the woman at the house of the Pharisees, who was broken down by her sin, in tears by her sin. It doesn't matter if your financials are failing. It doesn't matter if your faith is flourishing. It doesn't matter if you're depressed or down, if you're anxious, overwhelmed, or just beaten up and brokenhearted. For we have a hope and a Savior that can still come pursue us and still come call us and give us direction. The emotional state doesn't matter. The physical state doesn't matter. He can come get us whenever. We just got to be looking. So you have to know, and you must know, that Jesus can call you to something wherever you're at, physically and emotionally. But secondly, as he is on the pursuit of calling you, we have the responsibility to listen to our call. We have the responsibility to listen for that call. This is good because sometimes we get wrapped up in the situation we're dealing with, right? When life gets bad, or when life gets good even, we just want to tune it out. We could be indulging in something so good that we don't listen. You watch something on TV, someone tries to talk to you, you just got that look on your face because you're just, oh, caught up in it. And you do something so bad that you don't feel like you can get out, so you just don't listen. We don't listen because we don't want to hear. We ought to hear because Jesus wants us to hear and listen. He says this in his Gospels. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the Greek word for hear, akouo, it means listen. Proverbs 8:34 says this, Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. So we have a responsibility to listen, because when we listen, we can be given a new direction. When we listen, we can be given a new direction. Jesus stood out and told the disciples, I think this is so funny to me when I was reading it. Hey, do you have any fish? Have you caught anything? He knows they didn't catch anything, but he asked it anyway. And he says, try the other side. Try the right side of the boat. And so they cast it, and it was full of fish. We need a new direction, because sometimes our own way, things simply don't work out. They don't produce anything. They're futile. They're ineffective. They're fruitless. Without any direction to God. Without any direction with God. Without any direction from Jesus. Nothing in Scripture tells us that our way of living is the best way. Nothing in Scripture tells us that our way of living is the best way. Our way of thinking is God's way of thinking. Our logic is God's logic. Psalms 32:8 says this, I will instruct you. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalms 37:23 says this, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Right? John 14:6, many of us know this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You all let me know when you find something in here that's about us getting ourselves on the right path. Right? You can't find it. You won't find it. The only thing you can do is trust the Lord. The only thing you can do is listen to His direction and cast your life on the right side of living. Cast your life on the right side of living so you can have an abundance of life. Just as he filled that net full of fish, he could fill your life full of life. Life that's everlasting. Life that lasts. Life that lasts. My dad, he'd always tell me, and he'd probably tell me today. He's probably watching this. He's like, oh man, what are you about to say? But he would say this. He'd say, son, you just make life hard. You make things harder than what it should. And sometimes I would. I'm not going to lie. And maybe I still do. Maybe I still do, because I'm a knucklehead. Living life without Christ is the hard thing to do. It's a life of no purpose. It leaves a void in your heart. When we decide to listen, things change, and they change for the good, right? Change for the good because we are redeemed. Change for the good because we are renewed. Change for the good because we are restored. So Jesus, he can do that to us if we choose to follow. God can do that within us and within our lives if we choose to follow him. Choose to answer to that call. So as Jesus pursues us, we have the responsibility to listen to the call. But lastly, we have a responsibility to move towards that calling. We have the responsibility to move towards his calling. In verse 7 through 8, it says this. John said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John. Right? He said, it is the Lord. It is Lord. And when Peter heard it, he put on his outer garment. For he was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea. The disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish. For they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. As Jesus pursues us, what good does it do if we don't move? Movement towards Christ's calling is an urgent movement. It should be a movement that happens now. We ought to jump at the sound of his voice like Peter did. Peter, who once walked on water, right? He didn't say this time, Lord, if you tell me to come to you on the water, I'll come. He just decided, that's Jesus, I'm going. He didn't care how he got there. He didn't have to walk on the water this time. He said, I'm going. I'm getting in. He put his clothes on to jump in that water. Sometimes it don't make sense, but he did it. He put his clothes on to get wet. I always thought that was interesting. It may not make sense the way we move towards Christ, but we just got to do it anyway. Movement towards Christ requires getting over yourself, right? It requires getting over yourself. The things we know about Peter, we know that he walked on water. right? But his faith failed him, causing him to sink. When Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "I think you're the Messiah," right? So he was right in that. When Jesus was getting arrested, he drew his sword. He was ready to fight. He said, "You can't take him." When Jesus was going to the cross, right, he denied him 3 times. His relationship with Jesus was a roller coaster. A roller coaster of decisions and choices. But yet, at this moment, he still decided that I'm going to get in this water and go after him. He said, "I'm going to move towards that calling that I heard." Denying ourselves, yes, it's giving up the desires, but it's also letting go of who you once were yesterday. The days before, the days in the past, maybe the bad decisions that you've made, the wrong choices that you've chosen. It's getting past that and going. We all have stuff, right? I often cringe at the things that I did and do. Oh, man. I'd just be cleaning up around my house and think of something. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that back then? I don't know if anybody else does that. Just reminisce and just, you know, I'm like disgusted with myself that I did that and maybe ashamed. But yet we should all continue to seek the call of Christ in spite of the past, right? Romans 8:1 says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." The calling of Christ is a critical calling. It's a critical calling. It's something that we ought to be aware of. The first calling, right? The first calling for all of us is to come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But after we come to know him, we still have to pursue him. We still have to come to him. Urgency. The urgency of it needs to be every day. It needs to be in everything. You can invite Jesus in the smallest things of your life. The smallest things. Jesus says in Matthew 14, I'll just read it again for us. "When they got out on the land, they saw the charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish that you have caught.' So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them. So it says, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.'" Come and have breakfast. Think about that. "Now none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." Come and have breakfast. You can invite Jesus into the littlest things of your life. The smallest things of your life. When you're going for a walk. When you're cooking dinner. When you're on your daily commute. When you're walking to your car. When you're eating lunch. When you're sitting on your bed. You can invite him in anywhere, at any time. You just got to decide to do it. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "Having made Jesus his all, he," meaning us, "shall find all in Jesus." Maybe for you it's praying to him while you're on your daily task, praising him, or stopping for a moment to take in scripture. I don't know what it is, but you can do it. You can invite Jesus into every aspect of your life. It's just your choice. So this is the exciting thing that we have today. You can walk in your calling by believing in Jesus. If you do not believe, you can walk in your calling first. The first call is believing in Jesus. Romans 10:9 says this, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You can do that here at the altar. You can do that on the car ride on the way home. You can do that right now where you're sitting. You can do that. But if you're here and you've already been saved, I would like you to consider these things for the upcoming week. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. I'm going to invite Dale to come up. I'm going to ask you 3 questions that I would just love for you to consider as we are pursuing our calling this week. How about that? Are you willing to let go of your own plans to follow God's calling for you? Are you willing to let go of your own plans to follow God's calling for you? He has placed a calling. If you're in here and you're living, He has placed a calling on you. Second question, are you listening for God by looking for Him in your word, in your quiet time, in your prayer life? Are you listening to God by looking for Him in your word, in your quiet time, in your prayer life? Thirdly, are you actively pursuing God in your everyday life, not just in the big moments? Let me repeat that. Are you actively pursuing God in your everyday life, not just in the big moments? This is how we come closer to the calling that He's called us to. So, I'm going to let you guys deal with God this evening. And I would plead that you would. Whether He has called you to come and receive Him, whether He has called you to preach, whether He's called you to do whatever He's calling you to do, but He has called you to something. So as we stand, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have this time of invitation. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I just thank You for Your word, God, and God, I thank You for this day, and God, I just pray that we would just receive this word, God, that we would hear it, and that we would think about what You are maybe calling us to, God. Think about what You have placed on our lives, God, that You're maybe drawing us to, that, man, maybe we're just scared to do it. God, I pray that You would reveal that to us. And God, I pray that we would have courage to walk in that calling. Lord, I pray that if anyone in here does not know You as Lord and Savior, that they would come to know You today. God, I pray that if anyone in here, man, feels the call to ministry, God, that they would accept that. And Lord, we love You. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.